The Australian Chamber Orchestra is about to start their season of Dvorak's Serenade. And I'm joined on the line now by the principal viola, Stephanie Tharans. How are you this morning, Stephanie?
Great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. So you're about to go into rehearsal. I'm gathering they can't start without you, so I'll try and get through this. So look, just a little bit of background first. At 19, you were included in the Australian Chamber Orchestra's Emerging Artist Program. Since then, you've travelled overseas with the Berlin Philharmonic, the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, and now you're back with the principal viola with the ACO. Is that like returning to your spiritual home?
Yes, I think I feel very lucky to have grown up with the ACO in my backyard, so to speak. And it's an incredible gift to be able to travel the world and study in all kinds of places and perform with so many amazing musicians and then return home and find that your dream is actually where you started in the beginning. It's I feel like to be in such a dynamic group that can relate to you in so many ways and speak to you in the same language is a real gift, and I couldn't imagine having a more wonderful job than the one that I have right now.
There are thousands of musicians out there who are so jealous of you because the ACO is one of the finest orchestras in the world, probably. Their precision, their timing, and their collaborations is something that we are all very envious of. So turning to this concert now, Dvorak's Serenade, we're talking about three composers mainly. That's Antonín Dvořák, Béla Bartók and Josef Suk, based around Central Europe around the turn of the century. So what's the difference between these three composers stylistically? Is there any much difference, or is they sort of very much alike?
There is an incredible difference between the composers, and they all are extremely dynamic and expressive, but in their own individual fingerprint and identity. And for us as string players, the Dvorak Serenade is just the most luscious, rich, beautiful, warm bath of a sound to sink into. And it's just an absolute pleasure for us to play, and for me particularly as a violist, to sit in the middle of that sound world is just so beautiful. And on the opposing end, we've got the Bartók, which is just highly fueled, the most dynamic and most virtuosic work for string players. And it's an incredible adventure that it takes you on from the beginning and the end, from the most highest points to the most scary, intimate, vulnerable moments and everything in between. And so I think the program is just such a wonderful mix of so many different styles, but all very passionate, all very dynamic works in their own right.
So I've read this somewhere that the Bartók String Quartet is one of the most difficult works for string players, but this is an arrangement that Richard Chodnetty has done for string orchestra. Does that make it any easier to play? Do you have to play less notes because there's more of you?
I wish it did work like that. I'm sure all the musicians wish that it works like that. No, but there is an incredible extra intensity. Everything is just on steroids when you add the rest of the troops to the mix, but also somehow it brings the most intimate moments where you can cut down the troops to solo passages. It makes these moments feel even more intense somehow. And I think Bartók arranged his pieces he likes. He already spoke about arranging his fourth quartet for string orchestra, and he wrote a fantastic work for string orchestra. And you really feel like this piece is suited to the chamber orchestra kind of version. And it's very exciting to get really in the depth of the music and try and discover and ask questions about it and try and be very respectful of the syntax of Bartók's writing as well. So I think it's the best of both worlds, and it's certainly a massive challenge for us as players, which is really exciting to be able to use your abilities to the absolute
yes,
furthest point that they can even go.
So as I mentioned, the ACO is very famous for their innovative programming and their collaborations. We've seen them with rock stars, photographers, dancers, filmmakers, and, a plethora of international classical musicians. So in this concert, you're sort of including the work of American composer Caroline Shaw. Now, why do you think her music's been included to go with the Bohemian music?
I think she's just such a dynamic personality and a passionate personality. And because, as you said, we work with so many different genres and different types of artists, which is a real gift that the ACO has. And she's much the same, actually. She is a writer. She's a violinist. She's an arranger. She's a singer, and she records. She sings her own works as well. And that is a really wonderful personality to work with, because she knows what it's like to be a performer. And also, she's just so vibrant and fresh as an artist. And I think we need to be bringing these artists into the limelight as much as we can, because it is very refreshing and bright music to be playing. And it's a contrast to the other works on the program as well.
Mm. So will she be coming out to attend any of the concerts?
I don't think so. I think she's aware that we're playing, and she's arranged this for string orchestra as well as string quartet. And it seems that this piece has had a very healthy life, and I hope it continues to do so, because it deserves so much. But she's a busy bean, that's for sure.
Mm. So just getting back to your part in this concert as the principal viola, what are the technical challenges that you can find? What are the most challenging parts of it, do you think?
I think for me, actually, the syntax, the music, really getting inside the music is such a challenge. You know, the notes are one thing, but actually to express something and have a voice and convey that to an audience is why we do it. And every concert has a different feeling and every audience is different. And so the hard work happens before you walk on that stage, and lots of score reading, and you're understanding the syntax of, say, Bartok and how that differs from Dvorak, and understanding your role that you play in every second of the music is such an important aspect. And I think if we are passionate conveyors of what we do, then it's going to somehow feed onto the audience as well and move them, hopefully. It's easy to just play the notes.
Mm. So the rehearsal process for the ACO, do you all get involved in discussions about what the music means and how to interpret it? Does everybody have a voice in those discussions?
It's something that I admire so much with the ACO, because so often it's difficult when you have so many personalities in one room, and everybody, you know, when it comes from passion, everyone has different views, and the arts it's a gift, but also a vice a little bit in that regard. And it's always hard to find the balance. But the way the ACO works is just so personal and intimate, and everybody has a unique voice. And I find, as a viola player as well, there's no better place to be than in a small chamber orchestra, because your single voice is a huge percentage of your own section. And there are always solos, and you're always able to express your views, be it verbally or musically, when you're on that stage. And every single moment is different. Every concert is different. And you're feeding off everybody else as well in that moment. And so it's such an exciting way to communicate. And it's a very special part of the ACO.
Another part of the ACO program every year is international tours. Now, you've recently got back from the USA and Canada. So how was that experience for you this time?
Amazing, particularly after a big break of not being able to tour even interstate, let alone across the biggest seas. And it's so much part of the identity of the orchestra, I think. And so many players have connections to Europe and America and Asia, and they were born there or studied there or have close family there. And it's so special to be on a stage in a different country and play. And we receive so much energy from the audience as well. And when that comes at you, you know that you're taking part in a collaborative form of communication. And I think touring is such a special part of what we do. And I'm very grateful that we are able to do it now again, finally.
Mm. Yes. So outside the orchestra, do you ever get to play with other musicians, or are you pretty much tied up in the schedule of the ACO?
Our schedule is quite full on, and it's a lot of days on the road, but I think it's also healthy to be able to play other projects and chamber music outside of the orchestra as well. And the orchestra is very supportive of that, because it means that we're better players as well, and we learn from different people and can collaborate with friends and colleagues from all parts. I think it homogenizes the country and their musicians as well. I think it's a very healthy thing to do, that you're all collaborating together. So it's a hard balance to find, and you need to take care of your body and your mind that you don't burn out as well, I think. Mm. But the ACO definitely feeds a lot of my musical needs and my soul.
Yes. So do you ever get any free time? And if you do, what do you do to relax?
It's very intense when it's on, and then we have days post the tour where a handful of days where we can recover and get back to feeling normal again. I think the intensity of what we do means that you live and breathe it, and you just, it's so much part of your being and who you are. I find it difficult to separate that somehow of when I'm working and it's so in the zone, to then removing myself from that.
Mm.
And it's always a difficult way to do it. But and you need to keep your body fit as well and healthy, and your mind fit for such intense work as well. My husband lives in place with the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra, so for us it's a juggle as well. But he's such a support for what I do as well, so I'm very, very lucky to have him love me.
You are very lucky indeed. So Stephanie Therrens, principal viola with the ACO, we better let you get back to the rehearsals. As I said, they probably can't start without you. And this tour starts on this Friday. It's 5 days, 4th to the 9th of August in Sydney, and then the 19th of August in Newcastle, but it was also around the rest of the country as well. So good luck with the rehearsal and the season, this season.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to get on this tour. Thank you for having me.